Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The death of the V word. John Lopez is encouraged by this. There's a lot of reasons that Texans fans could be discouraged. I think it's going to be an exciting season because, let's be honest, football season, especially post-pandemic, we need a full football season. And I think the tailgating, everything, it's going to come into play. I think it's going to be a fun division to watch. I'm excited for football season. The NFL is second to none, but the expectations for the Texans are low. Mm-hmm. But early on in the process, a few months, 95 days now from opening day, John Lopez is celebrating the death of the V-word.
You have to have versatility.
Versatility. Whew. I was a little worried there when you said that.
You know Lopez, he's a lightweight, kind of creepy guy.
I am celebrating the death of that word. Wade and I were talking yesterday about this, and Wade was practically giddy about it. And it was good to hear that guy's been in the trenches. He's, you know, he knows what is what, when especially when it comes to the offensive line and offense. And he was practically giddy over the fact that this regime, now I don't know if it's coming from David Culley, Nick Caserio, or whomever, but they're no longer just basing everything on, well, you have to have versatility. You just heard B.O.B. talk about that. They're basing things on, what do you do well? What is your absolute strength? Now, if there's versatility, you know, in that, then you're probably going to be not a frontline player, not a dog like Framber Valdez, not an anchor at a particular position, but you'll have a spot on the roster. What they're doing is like, okay, so Marcus Cannon, and this is what kind of prompted the conversation with Wade yesterday. Marcus Cannon is a tackle, flat out. He's been a tackle. He plays tackle. We're not going to try to move him anywhere else. That's what he does best. He's going to play tackle. Titus Howard is young enough and inexperienced enough, really, when it comes to playing the offensive line, that you can maybe move him around and find a spot for him that can be his permanent home, or at least, you know, for the foreseeable future. I like that. And they're not just doing it on the offensive line. They're finding guys. We heard coach after coach after coach yesterday when all the assistant coaches came forward and were talking with us, talking about, well, this running back does this well, we're going to exploit that. And the example that we used yesterday was – you know, the way that they used their running backs and didn't make the most of guys who could catch the ball out of the backfield. They tried to make them an every down back or whatever under B.O.B. Well, I think the good news, if you're a Texans fan, is they're finding guys, finding out what they do well and saying, do that. We'll worry about the rest later.
I have five takeaways from the coaching press conferences mm-hmm. yesterday, and I'm with you on the versatility. I think there's good versatility in football and there's bad versatility
Absolutely.
In football. If the guys on the back end of your roster can do everything, that's great. But when you have starters and you're saying, well, this guy can be a mediocre center, he can be a mediocre guard, he can be a mediocre tackle, and that's what you're hanging your hat on, you're basically approaching the marquee positions as if they're basically like swing offensive linemen. And I think that was a problem with Bill O'Brien. I think that was a problem with the mindset mm-hmm. of the organization. But as I heard all those coaches yesterday, a couple of things stuck out to me when I heard this availability. Starting
numero
with
uno.
Number one, Lovie Smith sounds to me, when I hear Lovie Smith talk, it sounds like what a USFL or XFL press conference should sound like. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but normally when you have like a coach in the USFL or you have a coach in the XFL, it's a guy who shouldn't be in the NFL. Either he's too young, he's inexperienced, or he just mm-hmm. can't jump over that line. Or it's a guy whose best coaching days are behind him. June Jones with the Roughnecks did a really good job. When I hear Lovie Smith talk, I don't feel like I'm talking to a guy that belongs in the NFL at this point in his career. I feel like I'm listening to a guy whose best days are behind him, who should probably be in the XFL or something like that. He hasn't coached a good defense in a long time. I know Tampa Bay, they really didn't take the ball away at a very high level. I think they were in the 20s mm-hmm. The 2 years he was there. Illinois was one of the worst defenses in the Big Ten. I just feel like I'm listening to an XFL or USFL coach.
Good example is a really good dude who passed away yesterday, Jim Fassel. Jim Fassel, who coached the Giants and had a lot of success with the New York Giants. He ended up coaching in the United Football League because, you know, he was kind of a retirement age and wanted to just cash a check. And that's what you're talking about.
Observation number two, Tim Kelly sounds like Bill O'Brien. Mm-hmm. He said he's got to coach better when it comes to the run game, all that. When you listen to Tim Kelly, first of all, he doesn't sound like a guy that's very bright when it comes to offense. But he sounds a lot with some of the stuff he says. I know that he's escaping Bill O'Brien's shadow. I saw there was like a article about that on Sports Radio 610. Tim Kelly sounds like Bill O'Brien. He doesn't sound like a guy that really is a very bright offensive mind. You hear, you know, some of these offensive coaches talk, whether it's McVay, whether it's Shanahan, some of the other, you know, really good offensive guys. Tim Kelly doesn't sound that way. And quite honestly, I don't blame him because he followed around Bill O'Brien for 10 years. I'm not feeling Tim Kelly very much.
If I'm Tim Kelly, I'm kissing the ground every time I walk through those doors. He's really, really lucky to have this job. So that's why I feel like the influence from Pep Hamilton and David Culley and others on the offensive staff, he'll just say, sure, whatever you want, I'll do it. I mean, he's that guy.
Numero tres.
Pep Hamilton does sound like an offensive guy who knows what he's talking about. Pep Hamilton, when I hear him talk, he appears to have a little bit more of an in-depth grasp of what Davis Mills and some of these other guys are. He does sound like a guy who knows what he's talking about. I actually am more intrigued when Pep Hamilton talks than I am when Tim Kelly talks. And quite honestly, it's not even close.
Oh, you know how I feel about that. I think he's either kind of behind the curtain calling plays or will be calling plays by midseason. I think it's his offense.
Numero cuatro.
I don't know what it is, but for some reason, John McClain loves Lovie Smith. And for some reason, that Miles Smith kid, who's Lovie Smith's son, who's coaching the linebackers, I thought John McClain was talking. I thought Tom Landry had woke from the dead or something like that, the way McClain talked to him. I don't know what it is, but maybe it's the Texas connection. Maybe it's the OG connection or whatever, but John McClain,
he loves him,
gets giddy.
Yeah.
Whenever Lovie Smith and Miles Smith are up there, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost wanted to leave them two alone on the Zoom. I mean, I think if Miles Smith created a fans only, John McClain would subscribe.
He would.
Doesn't have Netflix, but if Miles Smith or Lovie create a fans only, John McClain would be in there all day.
He loves Lovie, man.
Draw up a play for me, Miles.
Oh, man. No, he does. You know, that's just one of his
guys. Number five.
Show me that A-gap. Number five. I don't know how these linebackers, when you hear the linebacker coaches speak, I don't really think they have any clue what they're going to do with the outside guys.
I think you're right.
And I'm talking about Bobby King. I think on the D-line, they know what they're going to do. But I think when it comes to the linebackers, I think they like some of the guys that they've brought in. But the Grenards, the Martins moving to DN, the Whitney Mercilesses, I don't know that these guys are going to fit in a 4-3 unless you're just going to have them come in and rush the passer. But I don't even know if those guys are in that prime of position. I think Grenard could have a chance to fill that role, but I just don't know that Jacob Martin and Whitney Merciless are going to be able to adjust and become full-time DNs. I could see these guys. I could see Jacob Martin being somewhat of a surprise cut or something, mm-hmm. because I think he's just more of a 3-4 guy. I don't look at him as like that third down end, but they might.
I think you're right. I think when they talk about competition, sometimes it has a bad connotation. I think it's a good connotation here, at least in terms of the level of talent that they have on this team. Shaq Lawson will play. Malik Collins will play. But beyond that, I think they're just like, okay, let's see what we got, and they're just going to throw those guys out there. They're going to probably go full bore early in training camp to see who can play. But I don't think they have a clue. I really don't.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. So Lovie Smith sounds like an XFL guy. Tim Kelly sounds like B.O.B. light.
Mm-hmm.
Pep Hamilton sounds like a guy who has a better grasp of the offense and the personnel than Tim Kelly. John McClain would definitely subscribe to a fans only.
Only fans
yeah. with Lovie Smith and Miles Smith. And these DNs, these tweeners, these guys that are changing positions, not quite sure about how that is going to go.
I couldn't even give you a projection, and I know it's our job, but if you said, what's the starting lineup on the defensive front right now? I would be like, I got to see more. I couldn't even give you a thought on how I think it would play out.
I think it's going to be a Minihu and Lawson on the ends. I think it's going to be Malik Collins. And then I think they would like it to be Blacklock, but I don't know that Blacklock – I'm going to have to see a lot more from Blacklock this year than I did last.
I mean
– and it's a damn shame, by the way. If Ross Blacklock – I don't want to set a guy aside too much. If Ross Blacklock is not a clear contributor on this D-line, mm-hmm. let's say the first five games into the season – You gotta be very, very concerned about whether or not Jack and Bill made the right decision there. Because there were a lot of quality guys that went in the second round after Ross Blacklock. You're going to see some of them this year. Jonathan Taylor, who was top five in the league in rushing, and some of the other receivers and running backs and safeties that went in that round and started games. If Blacklock is not clearly able to separate himself on this D-line, I think you got to wonder whether or not another failed second, third round pick.
Well, you have to wonder about his future. There's no question. I mean, maybe not this year, but you would have to worry about his future.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610, coaches yesterday. Anything else stick out for you during that media availability with the coaches?
Number one was the fact that, they're not – their philosophy seems to be – away from the versatility and more to let's find just one thing that these guys can do and exploit it. I also, Tim Kelly, I just feel like he's going to be maybe yes man is a little bit harsh, but he's going to be very flexible to any input anyone gets. Oh, one more thing that stood out that kind of ties in with Tim Kelly. Pep Hamilton was talking about how they've and I'm admitting I may be making too much of this because plays change every year. You always tweak, things every year in the offense, even when B.O.B. would add stuff, take away stuff. But he talked about changing the verbiage of some of the offense. And that was like an eyebrow raiser for me. That tells me he's already Pep Hamilton and David Culley putting things in that are vastly different from what B.O.B. had, which I like. Obviously.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. 11:45, chance to win a GER, a G, another STEMI, however you want to look at it. 11:45, 12:45, or a lifted couch cushion if you are John Lopez. 12,000 All right, $1,000. Dump that 12. $1,000 at 11:45 and 12:45. Coming up, Garrett Cole has landed in the middle of a cheating controversy. And are we enjoying ourselves a little bit too much in Houston when it comes to laughing at Cole's expense? Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Garrett Cole's being mocked, Yankees pitcher Garrett Cole, because of his answer to whether or not he's used a sticky substance when pitching. MLB's trying to crack down on this. 10-game suspension is what's being thrown out there. We've known this has happened for a long time. Hell, it's happened since Nolan Ryan was pitching. We'll hear from Nolan Ryan in a sec. But this is what has the internet going nuts, and Houston going nuts, really. Garrett Cole, when asked about sticky substances being used when he takes the mound.
And have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. Like I mentioned earlier, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including teams. And so if MLB wants to, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction on this.
Okay.
First of all, you can't look or sound any more guilty about anything if you were literally caught with your hand in the cookie jar by mom. He just looked awful there. But I think we can and probably should look beyond that, only because this has nothing to do with any sticky substances. It has nothing to do with something that has been going on for more than 100 years in baseball. Astros pitchers have done it. Every pitching staff has done it. Every pitching staff for the last 50, 60, 100 years has used some sort of grip substance, sticky, what do you call that one? Whatever it was, sticky tack or whatever it was, whatever it is, you know, rosin. I mean, it's been going on forever. It's not about that, people. It's about baseball realizing that the game is growing increasingly boring, and they need more a better batting average. This is the lowest batting average ever, cumulatively in Major League Baseball. The league is batting 236. That's awful. That's boring. You and I love baseball. We watch baseball, mainly the Astros. But if you're just like a baseball fan, you're not watching baseball anymore. The numbers are as much anymore, though the numbers are bearing it out. Baseball just wants to get hitters to hit more, you know, singles and doubles and triples and have higher batting average. That's all this is about.
I've seen a lot of gloating at the expense of Gerrit Cole, because we know about the rivalry between the Astros and the Yankees when it mm-hmm. comes to cheating, and the Yankees feel like the Astros cheated them. And when this happens to Gerrit Cole, who, let's be honest, as soon as the second that the Astros season ended after Game 7 of the World Series, he was a representative of himself, he was wearing the Scott Boras hat, and before we knew it, he ended up in New York. But I do find it interesting that there appears to be a lot of enjoyment, mm-hmm. and I could be wrong, 713-572-4610, but there appears to be a lot of enjoyment in pointing at Gerrit Cole from Houston, mm-hmm. You know, talking about, oh, cheaters, cheaters, cheaters. Is that throwing stones in a glass house?
Yeah.
Because if Gerrit Cole is using a sticky substance, chances are he was doing it here.
Yeah.
Is that really something that makes the Astros look better? Because wouldn't that be almost more of an indictment on the Astros than the Yankees? Because the one thing the Astros have been able to hang their hat on is, well, we stopped cheating in 2018 or 17 or whatever it was. It didn't happen in 2019. If Gerrit Cole was using this sticky substance and it comes out that he was one of the guys that used it most, mm-hmm. isn't that kind of a bad look for the Astros as well?
I think it's just misery loves company, you know, or justifying, you know, their own problems. Because, look, the Astros cheated. I mean, there is no one who denies the Astros cheated and they went over the line. I mean, they used electronic. They did it, okay? So if you're like, if you're upset because people are still harping on this, that's fine, but why would you be surprised about that? That's what fans do. That's what social media does, is they mock you as it goes on, and they have long memories collectively. So I think it's just like misery loves company, or maybe in a weird way, you're kind of justifying your own cheating by saying, yeah, see, they did that, so we're not that bad, something along those lines.
We'll hear some mocking of Gerrit Cole in a sec. Before we do, though, Jeff Bagwell joined the show last week, the Astros great. This is what he had to say about all this controversy in regards to the sticky substances, foreign substances on pitchers' hands.
For 120 years, people have been using pine tar and rosin together. And the general feeling was, I'd rather have him use that than have a slippery ball hit me in the head. Does it make that much of a difference? I don't know. Now with the big, you know, thing about spin rate, they're saying that you get more spin because the ball's tackier. Maybe that's true. And I don't know what the answer to that is. I know a lot of guys, and obviously Major League Baseball is making a big deal out of it now. I don't know if that's the answer for the more spin rate, but maybe it is. Either way, they can do whatever they want as far as Major League Baseball is to try and do it. And in general, I would imagine they'll find a way to use whatever they have to make the ball a little bit stickier.
They will. And again, I think this is just deflecting, not deflecting. It's just not the right reason. Like they're trying to keep the game pure or anything. They're just trying to get the game more exciting.
Why don't we just go Nolan Ryan? Nolan Ryan was asked about this. I think he was with a young Jeremy Schaap. And this is Nolan Ryan, the legend, the H-Town legend, one of the original 34s, talking about using sticky substances on the mound.
You say cheating. There's that gray area. And using pine tar to help your curveball, stuff like that. Those are things that are done in the game that are accepted as part of the game. So I wouldn't sit here and tell you no, that I wouldn't do those things.
Including scuffing the ball?
Right, at times. But I don't do that.
But you have done it at times?
No.
would you tell me if you had?
No, I wouldn't tell you if I had.
Nolan. That's Nolan Ryan. It's been going on forever. It's not about that. And Astros fans pointing and laughing and at Gerrit Cole, it is funny because he was so dang awkward. First of all, how do you not know that question is coming? This has been a topic for weeks.
Gerrit Cole, his first outing after they just said they were going to enforce this, he gave up 5 earned runs for the first time this year.
Yeah.
So that he was already kind of getting ridiculed and mocked. I know Barstool was having a field day with it. Jared Carrabas was just having a field day with it because he's a Red Sox guy. It is crazy that Gerrit Cole for the first time had a really bad start right after they said they were going to start enforcing this stuff.
Yeah. No, it's silly. I think he should have been aware that the question was coming, and that's the only thing I would mock him for. Like, dude, they've been talking about this for weeks, and you look like, you know, you had long pregnant pause, and you're staring at the camera or your laptop or whatever, as if, wow, where did that come from? You should have known it was coming and been ready from the start. That's what I would mock him for.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Life after Gerrit Cole, it's looking pretty good for the Astros right now. The rotation appears to be as good as it's been since Gerrit Cole's departure, really. I mean, you got Lance McCullers through a bullpen yesterday. He's going to have a rehab start later in the week. So the rotation that, you know, was a concern heading into the year, as Gerrit Cole becomes kind of the most mocked guy around the country in regards to baseball, the Astros, the good news, the Houston Astros are pitching as well as they have in a long, long time. Coming up at 11:45 and 12:45, a chance to win a GER, a G, another STEMI, $1,000 at 11:45. Be listening as the hits are lit next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All righty. 11:45. A GER, a G, another STEMI. Chance to win $1,000, baby. Let's get it. Might not mean much to J-Lo, but it's real to me, damn it.
It's pocket change for J-Lo.
It's $1,000, man. Give me a G. That stack
damn near rent around here. Be listening 11:45, 12:45. We got you covered. Noon, Sean Pendergast live from OTAs, the Penderruption, if you will. We're going to do it at 1 o'clock. He's going to be on the field at noon. We're going to have him at 1 o'clock when we go around the league. Sean Pendergast, a Penderruption, the most in-depth OTA report.
I like that Penderruption.
This side of the Mississippi.
I would the loopholes.
I would credit the loophole if I could, but I forgot your last four numbers. So
yeah.
You are a mystery man. Davis Mills. Davis Mills met with the media types at the TriStar show over the weekend. By the way, terrible performance by him. I'll get into that in a sec. Golly.
We mentioned it briefly yesterday, but I'm interested to hear the podium critic.
Davis Mills. Here's Davis Mills talking about how he feels so far at Texans OTAs.
I feel like I've done pretty well so far. Obviously, it's a new experience for me. Definitely learned a lot so far. And they've kind of thrown a lot at us pretty fast, so I've had to pick it up fast, at least what I could so far. But we kind of all know that this is kind of the period we're all getting back into shape and really getting the feel of all of our teammates, at least route timing-wise, and just feeling the offense. But it's been great so far.
I mean, you know, there's not a whole lot to get out of that. He's a rookie trying to, his head spinning, I'm sure, trying to learn the offense.
The rookies just, they don't know anything.
Well, they're hopefully not.
What an awful performance by Davis Mills at the TriStar show. I'm serious. I might be, you might say, Landry, this is another thing that you're focusing too much on. This guy's going to suck.
State your case, and then I'm going to say something that I think is going to
This guy's going to suck.
Well, I don't know about that.
I grew up chasing autographs. It was a hobby of mine, whether it was the hotel, whether it was getting like $2 tickets and then going to batting practice, whether it was whatever I could do. Getting autographs was like a hobby for me.
That was your thing. You had loved it. You created a science about it.
Loved it, man. And it was a good way to be close to it. It was a good way to follow the players. It was a good way to follow games. It was something to do. It was an excuse to be at the yard or at the stadium longer than possible. I'm watching this TriStar show because Mark Berman, of course, he was there. I think he got there 4 hours before. I think he was posted up like people trying to get Beatles tickets back in the 70s or whatever year that was. And I'm looking at these guys sign autographs. I'm looking at Jeff Bagwell. I'm looking at Craig Biggio. I'm looking at Johnny Football. I'm looking at all these guys signing autographs.
The care they took.
The thoughts. A lot of times you got to be efficient. There's a few extra loops, and it's not as legible as you'd like. Davis Mills is not good enough to have the lack of effort that he has with his autograph.
Yeah.
And I went back and I looked at Andrew Luck's autograph and all that. The dude's not even putting the number on it. Jeff Bagwell, Craig Biggio, perfect loops. Everything's perfect. Johnny Football, God knows how many autographs that guy signed. All these guys are signing autographs perfectly. And this Davis Mills character is just scribbling on there and saying, yep. He's either got to be the baddest mofo in the world for that not to matter, or this is something. This guy might stink. Maybe I'm putting too much stock in the autograph. Probably so. But I was disappointed in the quality of that signature, and I was disappointed in the thought that went into that signature.
I think you're putting too much into it if you're saying, okay, he's going to stink because of the way he signs an autograph. But I'll say this. Your name came up yesterday. I was talking with Wade Smith, and Wade actually has your back on this. And my point was this. It's one thing if you're jogging into the dugout after batting practice, there's skinny little Landry Locker saying, hey, can I have your autograph? And you just kind of scribble it on a piece of paper and give it to him. That's different, all right? You're trying to get somewhere. You're in the middle of your game prep, whatever. You are there, Landry, being paid to sign autographs. For that moment, you are earning money, who knows how much, but you're getting paid to sign these autographs. You have to take more care than that. These people are there specifically for that one reason. And
Bro,
Wade,
let's put the number on that.
Here's the thing. Wade was actually telling me, like, he would talk to Wade. If Wade came to the locker room and you know, and the Wade being a veteran, he'd call him over and say, hey man, you gotta do better than that. You know, this you know, you're a professional now. They're paying you to do this. These people wait a lot of money. You gotta have a better relationship with the fans. You have to be able to, you know, establish yourself as a fan. So
he signed it and just goes, yep.
Yeah. So he was,
yep.
He had your back, and it was a good point he made. My point is you're getting paid to do this.
My point is this. Your autograph is your brand.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant wrote the 8.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got a Kobe ball. I got a Kobe sweatband he gave me after a game. He didn't put the 8 on it, but he damn sure wrote out the Kobe. You're Davis Mills, man.
I think two of the people who have...
Third stringer.
Again, I won't go that far.
Team Driscoll.
But
you probably know it ain't going to be worth much. So.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But
ooh, there's a theory, though.
Of all the people there, I would venture to say... And I don't know everyone.
You got to put the number by it, bro.
No, but hold on. I don't know everybody who was there, but I can guarantee you there are very few who have signed more autographs than Craig Biggio and Johnny Manziel, who were at that event.
No.
And when you watch them... They were writing little notes or a name or their number. Yeah. I mean, they were taking care.
HOF.
Hall of Fame, you know.
You got to put the number,
he
bro.
He was going, like.
You got to put the number, bro.
Yeah. Like,
come on, Davis.
Like he was signing an online form or something.
Come on, Davis.
Just
well,
click through.
There is a theory here. I got to give credit to 8379. I got to give credit to 7869 on the text line.
He went to Stanford, which produces a lot of doctors. So maybe he has messy handwriting.
Doesn't
like
matter
a
if
doctor.
You're messy or not.
Nobody's talking about guys.
You got to put the number
you
on
have
there.
More care, yeah.
Got to put the number. Care. Have to. You're Davis Mills. Damn it. 5 minutes. Chance to win a GER. Another STEMI. A THAL. Right here on Sports Radio 610, 1245 as well. Again, the Pinderruption at 1. Stros yesterday. Total assing at Fenway Park. 7-1. The Astros win. Framber Valdez allows a run in 7 1/3. Could I interest you in a stats? Framber Valdez in 18 1/3 innings has a 1.47 ERA, 22 strikeouts, 4 walks, although he has hit 3 batters. Is Framber an ace?
Numbers
know he's a
are
dog,
hot.
But is Framber an ace?
He's a dog that has ace stuff. He's got number one stuff. Need to see a little more from him. But you just went through his line there. It was pretty dang impressive. Wicked curveball. He's added the changeup. I mean, he was just fooling fools out there. And I think he can get there from here. But Zach Greinke is the ace. Greinke's the ace. He's the guy. Yeah, I think anyway.
Carlos Correa, very impressed with what he's seen from Framber Valdez. Here's what the Sparkle Prince, by the way, playing some pretty good ball himself. Here's the Sparkle Prince talking about Framber.
It's amazing to see him, you know, go out there and throw strikes, control the strike zone, sinker, the changeup, the curveball. He was throwing for strikes. He was throwing for chase when he wanted chases. It's impressive to watch him work right now.
Very impressive. Dusty Baker, if you're already smiling about the dog Framber, Dusty Baker is going to make you smile even more. Here's the Astro skipper.
He has a moving fastball. He has a good, outstanding changeup. He also has a, you know, wicked breaking ball. I mean, this guy's young. He's still learning how to pitch. He's strong as anybody that we have on the team. You know, like he's only going to get better.
Still learning to pitch, and that's interesting because you talk about learning, you're talking about teaching old dogs new tricks, young pups new tricks. Not only is Framber still learning, but apparently Carlos Correa is as well. Because Carlos Correa has been hitting the hell out of the ball, and he actually credited the Astros hitting coaches for his recent success.
I'm not leg kicking as high. I'm doing a gather step instead, staying on my legs more, staying behind the ball more, seeing the ball better. They sat me down and they said, hey, we gave you 2 months already with that leg kick. We don't like it. We don't think you'll hit for power like that. And we think you should do this instead. And I said, all right, I'm in. And I started trying. I think the first time I tried it was against the Dodgers when Bauer's pitching. Hit the homer, felt good, and then kept doing it. And you know, it's been pretty consistent, so I'm happy with the way they approached it and the way they explained it to me.
I'm happy with it. You know, these guys, they watch, obviously they watch games and tape of their own batting swings, you know, consistently. He mentioned the Dodgers game is when he really...
Nobody's talking about guys.
The Dodgers series when he really started it. Since that Dodgers series, he's batting .386. With 12 RBI and 5 home run and 4 doubles. So whatever they change going into that Dodger series at home, it's working.
I got something nobody's talking about big time.
All right.
Nobody's talking about guy.
If Carlos Correa leaves us and Carlos Correa gets a contract, I'm being serious about this. I don't know how important this is.
Yeah.
But it is one of the things that I think of. By the way, 1 minute till you can win or have a chance to win a GER. $1,000 right here on Sports Radio 610. Who's going to lead the mound visits and go talk to pitchers when they get in trouble? Carlos Correa is always that guy going out there. Now, I don't know how you measure how important that is, but it does always seem like when the Astros get in trouble, Correa is the one who walks out to the pitcher and he calms him down. Or whenever there's like a mound visit throughout the course
first
of the
guy
game,
there from the infield.
He's the guy speaking. He's the one talking.
Yeah.
Who's going to do that when he leaves? Is Bregman going to all of a sudden have to do that?
It's usually either the shortstop or second baseman. So I'm going to say Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve is that guy. Usually short or second is the first one to go out and, you know, cover his face with his glove and say a couple things to the pitcher. So I'm going to say Altuve. That's a good question. Good point.
Very, very interesting to think about. Who is going to do that? That is some nobody's talking about here on Sports Radio 610.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right. It is the money time, baby. Every day, this is the money time. 11:45, 12:45. You need to be listening to In the Loop. It is your chance to win $1,000. Let's put a grand in your hand. All you got to do is text the code word LATE. L-A-T-E, LATE, for a chance to win $1,000. Text LATE. That's it. Spell the code word out, L-A-T-E, to 72881. 72881, text the word LATE, L-A-T-E, 72881. Nationwide entrance will have until the top of the hour to text LATE to 72881. Message and data rates apply. We're putting a grand in your hand, powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in more with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app. That's BetQL, B-E-T-Q-L. Text the word LATE, L-A-T-E, right now, 72881. Your next chance to win, 12:45. We're going to be doing this every day. Grand in your hand, chance to do that. 11:45, 12:45, thanks to National Odyssey Contest. What is so funny, John?
I love our loopholes so much. We're only going to do this once. We're going to tell you again. You text the word LATE to 72881. Not here. Text the word LATE to 72881.
Look at the text. How many messages say LATE?
72881. Bless y'all's hearts. Text the word LATE. L-A-T-E, 72881.
Don't call either. That's not going to get you in.
All right. No, hey, man, look, Correa, let's look at those numbers again. Just the shout out, credit, kudos, whatever you want to say to the Astros, obviously Dusty Baker and the batting coaches and the other coaches. He said it right there. You just heard him talking about it. It was the Dodgers series here. He decided to not do the hop, the big leg kick, more of a slide step and reset. 386 with 5 home runs and 12 RBI, and that's in just 12 games. It's working for Correa right now.
It's working for the Astros, really. I mean, the way they're playing right now with Lance McCullers potentially coming back, with Correa hitting the way he is, with Yordan Alvarez hitting ropes, with Fromber, with Greinke, Luis Garcia pitching the way he is. I mean, you look at where the Astros are right now. I mean, you have over 100 games left in the season. The Astros right now playing their best baseball. I don't know how good they can be, but I don't think there are too many teams that are playing as well as the Astros with even more help on the way. Lance McCullers was the guy that many considered to be the guy with the best chance to be an ace. Lance McCullers coming back.
Yeah.
Squad's playing some pretty, pretty good ball right now.
Really good. You look at the standings, Tampa is still out there and doing their thing. But the Astros are really not that far off from what they were doing in 2019 in terms of performance on the field. Now, their win-loss record was outstanding, a little better than it is now. But they're only a game back from the A's right now. And, of course, the Rays are still out there at 39-23.
102 games remaining for the Astros right now.
Oh, by the way, I'm glad you said that. You know what yesterday was the anniversary of? This is gonna blow you away, and illustrate just how bizarre last season's baseball season was. Yesterday was game number 60. That would have been the end of the year last year. That would have been the last game of the season. Isn't that something?
That is crazy when you think about
that.
How small it was. Kind of a sprint, and we were kind of starving for it because there weren't as many sports and we were in the middle of a pandemic. But when you put it that way, I mean, it does just kind of show how different last year was compared to this
year. We're talking about McCullers coming back, Correa finally getting hot, figuring things out. Look at Fromber. Is he going to be an ace? Yesterday would have been it. End of the season a year ago. That's crazy. She got 2/3 basically of the season to go.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Apparently, some college football news. They are discussing, and when they discuss, this means it's likely going to happen.
Yeah, when they let it out.
Playoff expansion. Apparently, there's going to be talk about 12 teams being in the college football playoff. Don't know how this is going to work from a monetary standpoint for players. You got to think that with the ability to profit on your own likeness, there could be chances for athletes to cash in, which might make them more likely to hang around. But 12-team playoff, a lot of people excited about this. I like the four. I'm not going to lie. Six is the highest I would go. I'm not a fan of this 12-team playoff, but it appears to be inevitable. There's obviously some obstacles. There's obviously some variables that could take place with players deciding to opt out of it or anything, but it does appear inevitable, John.
Let me give you tomorrow's news today, all right? They floated this 12-game thing because they won 8 games. I think 8 games is where it's going to land. 8 games is what it's going to be. So the question becomes, and my answer is I don't mind this. Do you mind when you get one loss and you're not Alabama or LSU or whatever, or USC, whatever, one of those big major programs, when one loss doesn't shoot you out of the playoff conversation? I don't mind it. I think there are teams out there that at the end of the year with a 4-team playoff, nobody wanted to play because they were that hot, they had improved that much, whatever, young quarterback, young team, gets that much better. I like an 8-team playoff. I think it's going to end up being an 8-team playoff. They just floated this number out there to kind of, get people ready for it. I like the fact that one loss does not shoot you out of the water in college football anymore.
I like 6 because I think if you're going to expand, I still want to reward the top 2 teams with buys because I do think that if you are Alabama and you go undefeated and you beat Texas A&M or LSU, I do think you should get some sort of advantage instead of an equal playing field, because if this is going to be like some sort of 12-team playoff, first of all, I think college football right now has the best beginning to end season. But I also believe that if I'm Nick Saban, and let's say that I'm facing LSU and I'm undefeated at the end of the season, if we're going to be put on an equal playing field, and let's pretend that Alabama and LSU are undefeated or something like that, let's say we're playing the final week of the season, I'm resting my guys. Because we're going to be in the playoffs regardless. What do I have? What do I have to gain by winning this? You could say seeding, but let's be honest. In college football, you know this better than anybody. A lot of times that 4-5 team is the team that got the hottest. They just lost early.
And I like that now.
But you don't want to face that squad.
But here's the
thing. So sometimes when you're facing that that number 10 team or whatever in the playoffs, it's not like the NFL where you're facing the wild card. That team lost a game. Most likely it was to a good team and they're hot as hell at the time.
Right. No,
seeding is going to be tough.
Seeding is going to be tough, but it's going to be awesome to watch. I think it's an easy fix.
Well, I'm watching the hell out of it. Let's be honest.
Exactly. I think it's an easy fix. Give the top 4 seeds home games. That'll make you feel a lot better. That'll make you feel – make it a home game.
Yeah, you can't do neutral sites for 3 rounds or whatever. That's silly.
Yeah, give the first round is top 4 seeds get a home game, and then we go into the old school playoff.
12:45, your next chance to win $1,000. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Pinderruption coming up at 1 o'clock. Coming up next, a dog, an ace, and the end – of an era for the Texans next.
His trouble with dogs. I mean, he loved dogs.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.